until I see the mama.
I like to experience it fast. And that's right. Okay, get out your tests, assignments.
What?
What do you mean what? File number 9. We'll correct it in class today. Anybody correct 2 of them? All right, put your go ahead and exchange your papers with your neighbor. Exchange your assignment with your neighbor. And let your neighbor anoint it with oil. Pray over it, the prayer of faith. Raise it from the dead. Put your name down as corrected. Use a different color ink. Now, hear ye this. If they do not have the scripture reference, it's a -1. All of them. Well, that need a scripture reference. Not all of them need scripture references. Secondly, make sure you put down the right answer for them if they don't have it. Always do that. Give them the right answer if they don't have it. Okay? Okay, let's fly. Number 1. To find who John the Baptist was, let us first see who others said he was. Letter A. What did the angel say? The only place an angel talked about John is in Luke chapter 1, 13 through 17. You only have to put one of those verses in there. And there are several things that he did say, so whatever they wrote down that comes from that portion is okay. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord and all of that. Okay, letter B. What did the Jews, priests, and Levites wonder? Now that quote comes out of John 1, 19 through 21. And what they wondered is, who art thou? That's what they wondered. They wondered who he was. They wondered if he was the Messiah. They wondered if he was Elijah. They wondered if he was that prophet. And that prophet is a distinct, separate thing. We'll talk about that actually a little bit later. Now, what did the people wonder? This is letter C now. Now notice it's 3 points each. 1 point for the scripture, 2 points for the answer. Okay, letter C. What did the people wonder? And the people wondered in Luke 3:15. And they wondered whether he was the Messiah or not. They wondered whether he was Christ or not. Letter D. Who did Christ's disciples conclude that John was? And the word understood is found in Matthew 17:13. And they understood that he was Elijah. So that's what they understood. They concluded that John was Elijah. Now, what did John himself say he was not? The only place he really affirmed at what he wasn't is in John 1, 20 and 21. So that's your scripture reference. And he said he was not Christ or Elijah or that prophet. Yes?
John 3:28 is just another reiteration of it. If they want to
put
that, is that okay?
Okay. Yes, thank you. I also have that down. John 3:28. John 3:28 is another place where it says the same. Thank you, Melissa. So they can either have John 1, verse 20 or 21, or John 3 and verse 28. Yes?
The number D, he had the right scripture name for that. That he was the one prophesied of that would restore all things.
Yeah, that's okay, because it says Elijah. Doesn't it?
No, it doesn't say Elijah. In
Matthew 17:13?
Okay, yes.
Oh, yeah, but on his answer it doesn't. Yeah, but in there it does say that. Just to read it to you. Matthew 17:13. And see, us correcting this assignment together is important because we're going to go through the information and get it all squared away. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Now what did he say about them? Verse 11. Elijah truly shall come first and restore all things. So Elijah has come already. Then he understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Yes?
Are you saying that the disciples thought that John the Baptist was Elijah?
Yeah.
They thought he was actually Elijah, the prophet?
Who knows what they understood? But according to Christ's determination, yes.
Since he had done Matthew 17:12, 12:13. And then it says, they understood from Jesus that this Elijah was John the Baptist.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly the answer. And because he's talking about Elijah, how he shall truly come, restore all things, that he came already, and then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Oh, so John is that Elijah. See? Okay? But John said he wasn't Elijah in letter E. Now, letter F. What did John identify himself as? Now, there's several scriptures you can have down here. Quite a list of them, actually. And whatever scripture they have is probably okay. It's a voice crying in the wilderness, or the friend of the bridegroom, or as the one unworthy to unloose the sandals of Christ. So any of those are fine. Letter G. What did Jesus identify John as? Take your answer from a surface reading, Matthew 11, 10 through 14, and chapter 17, 11 through 13. And that is that John was more than a prophet, namely Elijah. He was more than a prophet. He was more than a king, you know, one that sits in the king's palace. He was the greatest among the greatest born among women. And so Jesus identified John as, namely, Elijah, and that's what I'm looking for. Now, if they said some of the other extraneous statements, but they never say that he was Elijah, it's a minus one. I think it's a minus one point. They got the scripture. Well, there's no scripture reference. I already gave them to you. So there's no scripture reference on letter G. And if they take some of those statements from Matthew, but they do not put down specifically Elijah, that's a minus one point. Yes.
Is there a scripture for
us? Yes. I'll tell you what, I'll just read off the ones I've got. Matthew 3:3, Mark 3:13, John 1:20-23, Luke 3 and verse 4, John 3, verse 29, Mark 1, verse 7. Okay, so there's a bunch of them. Yeah. What did Jesus identify John as? Oh, I see. Because it didn't say who. Did that throw you when you were doing an assignment? Okay. If you read Matthew 11 and Matthew 17, Jesus is talking about Elijah. He's talking about the one who will restore, and how John is more than just a prophet. He's more than these others. Well, what is he? Well, in Matthew 17, he describes him as Elijah. And so, now the term what? I guess, in a sense, I say what, because I'm looking at a designation. It's not that John is the person of Elijah. That's not what was meant by Jesus. That's not what's meant by the scriptures. It's talking about a ministry, and so I guess what seemed more appropriate, in a sense. What did John identify him, or what did Jesus identify John as? And so what seemed more appropriate than who at that point? But if they don't have Elijah, it's a minus one. Letter H. Does there appear to be a difference between who John identified himself as and who Jesus said he was? Now, the mind of man is really interesting. And depending on how you looked at that, there are other ways, if you didn't follow carefully what I have said and what these other scriptures have brought to you, you may have answered this differently than what you should have. Does there appear to be a difference between who John identified himself as and who Jesus said he was? Yes. There is an apparent difference. Because Jesus said he's Elijah and John said he wasn't. So apparently there is a difference. Because Jesus said he was Elijah, the disciples understood he was Elijah, and John said he wasn't Elijah. So there does appear to be a difference. Now, some people, what they did is they said, Does there appear to be a difference? They say, no, because Jesus said he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, and John said he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And so there doesn't appear to be a difference. Jesus said that, you know, and so they're not following particularly my train of thought. And if that's the case, and you put that down, and what you do have is, and by the way, you don't have to have any scripture reference on letter H. And if they do have points at which there is agreement, and that's what they put down, I'll go ahead and let them have it. Yes?
Well, the reason we know the answer is yes is because the question is there a difference? And then you inserted the word, does there appear to be a difference?
Mm-hmm.
So, that it was kind of obvious.
It should have been obvious.
It's obvious that because you changed the word,
yeah. Yeah. Those that are thinking it through and looking more closely at it, and I agree with you. I feel like it should be obvious. But one person asked you this and said, well, hermeneutically, we know that if there's a difference in Scripture, it's not really there. Actually, it's, you know, and so they answered it. That, it's as if they did not read the question, really. Does there appear to be a difference? Yeah, there does. There isn't, but there does appear to be. And we'll be showing that later. Yes?
Do you want them to have, if they said there is no difference, do you want them to have, scripture reference?
Well, it depends on what they have. If they said there is no difference.
I just, no, I did not even know it's a claim. And you didn't ask why. You just said, does there appear to be a difference?
Yeah.
You didn't ask for an explanation, otherwise I would have put it back in the head.
Hey, I'm just going to leave H alone. I'm going to go ahead and leave H alone. I'll change that.
You want the correct answer
then? Yeah, put down the correct answer.
Yes, because Jesus said he was Elijah and John said he wasn't. That's the way it would be.
Okay, question number two. What does the name Elijah mean? You do not have to have any scriptures for that either. And depending on where you looked, you may have gotten an answer like Yahweh is Elohim, or the Lord is God, or my God is Jehovah, etc. And those are all okay. Question number three. Malachi and Jesus both mentioned that Elijah would come again. What did they say he would do when he came? Now, you would need scripture references. And I mentioned both Malachi and Jesus. And so there will actually be 2 points for scripture references on this question. Malachi spoke about Elijah in Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Jesus spoke about Elijah in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 11. And also Mark chapter 9 and verse 12. Yes? Yeah, it just doesn't use the word Elijah in it. It doesn't use the name Elijah. It does talk about the messenger coming before the face of the Lord. But there it doesn't use the name Elijah. Mark 9:12 would also be okay.
Yeah.
Which one? Matthew 3:1? Oh, Malachi 3:1? Well, no, I guess I'll give it to you. It doesn't use the name Elijah, but it is talking about the ministry of Elijah, and it's talking about John. In Malachi 3:1, John is being prophesied of. Okay, you got them both, huh? Yeah. I'm sorry, come. Luke 1:17? No, because that's an angel. Minus one. Yes. Yeah, I'll give you Matthew 11:10. I'll also give you Matthew 11:10. So out of these, for Jesus, for Malachi, I'll go ahead and give you Malachi 3:1 or Malachi 4:5 and 6. For Jesus, you have to have either Matthew 17:11, Mark 9:12, or Matthew 11:10.
Well,
Malachi 4 went out close enough, you know, come on, I guess. Oh, really? Extra ones, yeah, that'd be all right. No problem. Yeah.
She's got all the
well, yeah, if she has that, that's fine. As long as she has where Jesus said it. Yeah. She has extra, that's okay. Now, what did he say he would do when he came? Well, whatever it says in those scriptures. So it's turn the hearts of the Father to the children, restore all things, prepare the way. Those are the different things that are said. See? The basic idea and concept is restoration, though. So maybe put the word restoration down there and circle it. All right. Question 4. Using the concordance, find the New Testament where restitution is mentioned. That's Acts 3:21. Did John the Baptist accomplish that restitution during his ministry? No, because it's talking about it yet to come, and John was dead. And so it was yet to come. So there's a restoring yet to come. Did John the Baptist accomplish that restitution during his ministry? She's not really answering the question. Right. Talks about till the time of the restitution of all things, which was not is not going to be until the second coming. So. Right. Oh yeah, definitely. He did accomplish some. Minus one. If they don't say no, but they've got some of the, that he did do, and they evidently didn't, you know. Because here's the point. John did restore. But he didn't restore all things. He did not. Because it was still going on. It's still going on now, today. Okay, question number 5. Yeah. Boy, I tell you, give that man a plus, plus, plus. Super duper. They've got it. Okay, question number 5. 6 points. What power and spirit did John have when he came to Judea? Luke 1:17 of Elijah. Now hopefully things are starting to click in your mind. The angel didn't say he was Elijah. The angel said he came in the power and the spirit of Elijah. John said he wasn't Elijah. But the angel said he came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Yes?
Not
the Holy Spirit, right? The spirit and power of Elijah. Power and spirit. Yeah, it says the spirit and the power of Elijah. Which is the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'll accept that. But it's not just the Holy Spirit. I mean, we're not limited to just that. Well, if you don't understand already, we'll soon will. So they do have to have of Elijah down. Now, number 6 is 4 points. When did John decrease and increase with that same spirit? And John, excuse me, when John decreased, who increased? The answer is found in John chapter 3 and verse 30. And the person's name is Jesus. So when John decreased, who increased with that same spirit? Now, it was the spirit and the power of Elijah. That increase with Jesus. Okay, question 7. Now hopefully your minds are clicking off things now. And you're seeing and realizing that Elijah is not just a person. We're talking about something more when we're talking about Elijah. We're talking about the Spirit of God. We're talking about an anointing plus the Spirit of God. Both. So this will keep unfolding. Hopefully. Question 7. What spirit was it that filled both John the Baptist and Jesus Christ? Filled full, both John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. And you find that the scripture verses you have to have are Luke 1:15. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Luke 4:1. Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit. Or you could also have down there John 3:34. So we've got Luke 1:15 and Luke 4:1. Those are the two you really need. But for Jesus, you can also have John 3:34. And the answer is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. They also have John 3:30. Yeah, good. Yeah, hey. All her extras are fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Spirit of Elias. Problem is I've got filled quotations and full. And the reason why I asked that specifically is that there was an actual spirit that filled them, and that's what I was looking for. And which is a little bit different than the power and spirit of Elijah. That's a little bit different. See the difference? So see, they said that in number 7 was spirit that filled full both John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. And it's the spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. And if they say the spirit of Elijah, see, they're missing it. Now, if they got the right scripture references, that's 2 points. And but it's the Holy Spirit is what I'm looking for, so that'd be a -4. Yes? No scriptures?
Yeah.
2 points wrong.
So -2?
-2. One point for each scripture. Okay, number 8. According to what Jesus explained to his disciples in Matthew 17:11-12, letter A, according to verse 11, who is Elijah? And what do you base your answer? Now here we get into a real meat of what we're looking at. Letter A, the answer is Jesus. And you should base your answer largely on the verb tenses in that verse. And there's two answers I'll give. There's actually 3 points that if they make, I will give them the full credit for letter A. Now notice it's worth 8 points. The answer is worth 4, and the reason is worth 4. So the answer is Jesus. That's 4 points if they got that. The reason is because it says Elijah came and will restore, or comes and will restore all things. Came or come is come, cometh is in the present indicative. It's present, which speaks of an actual continuing action right at that point. Now, John was dead. But Jesus was ministering right at that point. Present tense. Ministering. And so the verb tense lets you know that it was Jesus, because he was presently ministering and John was dead. Also, another thing that they said is that will restore. That's future. John was dead. How can he restore anything? He's gone. Jesus is still restoring. So will restore refers to Jesus. Again, so they could also use that verb tense. And then, or they could have just made the third point, which lets me know they understood what that was saying. And that is if, thirdly, they just said John had already come and was gone, and that would let me know that they understood. So that reason would be okay. Okay? Okay. Well, they're understanding a lot of things that are proper and are true, but they're missing that verse refers to Jesus. Is coming is not future, it's present. The man-child was not his coming. Jesus was, presently. It wasn't future. It did not say that Elijah will come and will restore. He didn't say that. He said Elijah is coming. Elijah is comes. Elijah comes. In other words, he's right now, presently, in a continuing action, coming. And that was Jesus. But they have some excellent answers over there. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We'll give them a minus four only on that. Yes? Okay. Did they get the right answer, though? Jesus? They didn't say Jesus? They just said Elijah was a prophet who already came? Who is Elijah? He's a prophet that already came. From verse 11. Came and will restore all things. Well, they're not getting it. So, that verb tense, is coming, is really important. They'll have to miss that one. They just missed that. Minus 8. Yes?
Elijah is coming. Preparation and restoration of all things have yet to be accomplished. This Elijah is in A, the man shall come in, B, Jesus Christ, who will deliver the kingdom to the Father.
Okay, that sounds like the same answer as this one here. And again, they put it in the future. Is coming. And it's present. It's hard to translate the present. Is coming. Elijah is coming. But that means presently, now, with a continuing idea. Is coming. Future would be shall come. We, in the English, sometimes say is coming, meaning shall come. And so some, in reading the literal rendering of that, made it future when it was actually present.
Would it be like, let's say you invited a friend over to your house and you said
he is coming
even though she isn't already.
Exactly.
But it is present. She is presently on her way.
Well, it could be. Well, in 3 years from now, she is coming again. Jesus is coming. And we sometimes use that in a future idea. But the verb tense is not future. See, but in the English, is coming. It's really hard to put it any other way. How else do you put it in English? It's really difficult to translate it in English. Elijah comes is the best way. Or is coming. I mean, he's coming right now. He is coming now. See, but with the English, it's difficult to make that distinction when you're using come. And but it is in the present. So some tricked at that. Obtaining time keys. So, what I'm going to have to do with that is probably what I did the other one. Minus four, Carrie. Yes?
I'm going to defend my answer. I think I understood it, but I maybe didn't word it well. I put, Elijah is coming in the present continuous tense. Could mean the old Elijah is still in the process of coming as in the spirit of Elijah. And what I meant by that is, since the millennium could have happened then, when Jesus came, Israel would have received him as a Messiah. And that was put off. The man-child ministry began with the disciples, and it's still continuing through all the ages. It's still continuing now, but we're still presently continuing to be in the spirit of Elijah as the man-child something being set up. And so then this generation will also be still saying, prepare you the way of the Lord. So we're still ministering from the Baptist ministry even today. And that's how I was understanding that present continuing tense, is that not only did it
in Jesus' day, but also still applies now. Okay. Well, you definitely have a proper understanding as far as the overall ministry of Elijah. But in your understanding, did you know that Jesus was the Elijah?
I interpreted as being John the Baptist was a specific person, but the man-child ministry was carrying on that, so I didn't understand that Jesus had anything to do with it. Because to me, preparing the way of the Lord means Jesus is the Lord, so how could he be preparing for his own way?
Mm-hmm. Right, I understand. And in that, you missed half of it, just like the others did. Sweetheart. Okay, the reason why is because Jesus is the great Elijah. Jesus is the great Elijah. He It's His ministry that restores all things. It's His ministry in the man-child that restores all things. Jesus Christ is principally, He is the principal Elijah. And that is because the Spirit and the power of Elijah, when it decreased from John, it increased in Christ and has stayed there ever since, because He's now living and reigning in that position. Now, He is still ministering, but He's ministering through the church. But it's still in Christ. So the principal Elijah is Jesus. Okay, and that ministry and spirit of Elijah, because of Jesus Christ, is also in His church that is restoring. And not all the church is restoring. Not everybody is in Elijah ministry. It's only those that are, that are. Those that are filled with the Holy Ghost and are used by God and propelled by God in restoration. Are being used by God to restore. Not all the church is. Some of the church is in a mess, And some are barely saved, and whatever. But there are those that have the spirit and the power of Elijah. And the man-child definitely will. That'll be their thrust. And the two witnesses will. Very definitely. There'll be a restoration going on during that time. I'm getting ahead of myself. But definitely, Jesus is the great man-child. Okay, so that's question A. Question B is, or letter B. Yes. Okay. I guess. Right, I know. We'll restore. Yeah, we'll take it. Because that's basically the truth. If they understood it. That's a hard thing with the test. Did they really understand what they just said? Yes. Oh, no. You can have one of those three. I said, just one of those three. You don't have to have all three. And I mentioned of the three, the verb tense of erketai, which is coming, or the verb tense of will restore, which is future, or that John had already come and was gone. So you only have to have one of those three. Thank you. I'm glad you clarified that. Letter B. Letter B is John the Baptist. Now there's four points that you could use. One of these four is all you would really need on which to base your answer. Number one, the verb tense is basically Elijah already came in his aorist. He's talking to the simple past. He came. And along with that could be the word already. He already came. In other words, something already that happened. Okay? So that's point number one. Point number two is the description. Because he described this Elijah and said they did to him whatever they wanted. And that's what they did to John. That's what happened to John. So the description of him, I'll accept that. Thirdly, it's contrasted to the Son of Man. It's contrasted to the Son of Man. Because in verse 12, it says, so also shall they do to the Son of Man. Therefore, we know it's not the Son of Man. Which also gave you a hint that he was also like John. And if John was Elijah, so also the Son of Man. That gave you another hint that the Elijah is Christ. Two. But I'm just showing now that John is the Elijah. And the third point is that it's contrast to the Son of Man. Or fourthly, this is basically what Jesus taught by the conclusion of the disciples. And that's found in verse 13. Jesus had taught that because the disciples understood they spoke of John the Baptist. So I'll accept one of those four points. Yes. Hey, let her have it. Great.
This I don't understand. That she's got on here, Elijah is John the Baptist. Come in spirit and power of Elijah. He has come, he equals present, already equals even now by the time. Have equals without delay with you. Shall equals in expectation, but none of it is saying have tense.
Yeah, because it's not present. It's aorist. Came already. Elijah came already. What is come already, I think, is the way it's worded.
Elijah is John Baptist coming spirit and power of Elijah. But she's saying, present tense, even now by this time, without delay, would be in expectation.
Oh, I'm half listening to you and half trying to figure out what they were saying there, and then searching on the side too. So it sounds like it's probably okay. I don't know. What do you think, class? It says John. Yeah, we'll give it to him. Okay. Yeah, sounds like it's it. Yes. Absolutely. Hey, they got two or three of the 4 points right there. Okay, no problem. Okay, question number 9. A whole bunch of points. Each one has their own set of points. Now, letter A. This is going to be the biggie. This is the biggie. This is the kind of conclusion type statement type. Okay? And I want you all to write down what I give you, no matter what they have. Even if it's the same. Okay? So everybody, write this down. What is that Elijah referring to? Quote, the Spirit of God in an individual or individuals bringing restoration. The Spirit of God in an individual or individuals bringing restoration. So the identity is the Spirit of God in an individual or individuals. The purpose is bringing restoration. Now, this is how I am going to grade it. 4 points for the purpose. Now, if they have for their purpose anything that deals with restoration, that's okay. Even turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, that's a restoration, so that's okay. So anything for the purpose there, basically okay. 4 points. As far as the identity, it's a total of 6 points. 2 points is if it points out that it's in an individual or individuals. So that if they say prophet, or if they say, you know, John, or if they say Jesus, that's individual or individuals. That's okay for 2 points. 4 points is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Because that's the Spirit that was in John and was in Elijah, but it was the Spirit of God bringing restoration. And so that's why it's the power and Spirit of Elijah. So the entire definition of who is that Elijah is the Spirit of God in an individual or individuals bringing restoration. If you take any of that out, it's not Elijah. If they don't have the Spirit of God, it's not Elijah. If it's not in a person, it's not Elijah. And if it's not bringing restoration, it's not Elijah. You have to have all aspects. Okay? Now, hopefully, now, I want this to gel in your mind before you worry about correcting your paper. So let it just kind of gel, and let it chill and set. So you see, Elijah is not just a person. See, that's the point. Elijah is not just somebody. Elijah is only if the Spirit of God is there. Because it's the Spirit and the power of Elijah. But it's only Elijah if it's the Spirit of God bringing restoration. And it can only be Elijah if the restoration is occurring through a person or persons. So, the great Elijah is Jesus Christ. John also, though, had the Spirit and power of Elijah. In fact, it began with him, but then it increased in Christ. And that's the increase of that deals with the restoration along with the anointing and the power and all of that. Okay? That's the increase. And of course, he had the fullness of the Godhead dwelling within him bodily. That's also part of that increase. And then, after Christ, now, he has joined into that his body, which only makes sense. I mean, if the head is Elijah, what about the body? I mean, they're not George. If the head is Elijah, so is the body Elijah. But it's only as it is fulfilling that position. It's only as it's doing Elijah's work. It's only as the Spirit and power of Elijah are on them that they are Elijah. And therefore, it's in the restoration ministry. So all the church is not Elijah. But there have been those that have been Elijah. And in the end of time, particularly in the man-child, there we see it again in a very full way. And that's where the church comes, that is, that portion of the church, that remnant, comes into the fullness of the stature of Christ unto a perfect man. And in that will be a ministry of restoration. And then Elijah will be clearly seen again. And he'll come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Then the Lord comes back and says, "Coming." Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll answer some of that later. But that's the answer. And now I gave you the main points. And now hopefully you can judge your... The main points are 4 points for the Spirit of God, 2 points for an individual or individuals, and 4 points for bringing restoration. Now, if all they say is, what is that Elijah referring to? And they just say, John and Jesus bringing restoration. That's -4. Because they didn't get the understanding that I kept trying to point to here is the Spirit. What power and Spirit? What Spirit filled them? What did they decrease and increase with? See? And it was all pointing towards the Holy Spirit plus that anointing by the Holy Spirit to restore. So it's a combination, see? And so when you therefore identify what Elijah is, you have, there's several aspects here. But mainly, those two, identity and purpose, and they both have to be together in order to be a proper definition. Yeah.
Okay. I wrote down for identity, identity that life, spirit, and power to life, which is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Purpose was to reconcile man back to God, to have that same spirit and power to life in man, which is the Holy Ghost. That's not
good. That's perfect. Because you've got in man, well, he's got in man. Yeah. He's got it in man. He's got it in man. He's also got the Spirit of God. He's also got the restoration. Sure. Okay. Yes.
He was called the people to repentance and change the hearts of fathers and children united to the Lord.
That's perfect for restoration. Not as human spirit, not in my opinion.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, well, if I understand what you're saying, can we now presently today have, and when you say the spirit of Elijah, what are you talking about? Are you talking about the Spirit of God in that work of ministry, in that work of restoration? Very definitely.
There are people who are experiencing.
Yeah, very definitely.
The question is then, is it always the Spirit of Elijah that we're experiencing when these 4 points are incorporated?
What we're dealing with here is experiences that people have had. And I know at times different ones have experienced as if they were in fellowship with Abraham. And really what they were in fellowship is not the man, Abraham. What they were in fellowship with was the Spirit of God that has brought specific revelation to Abraham concerning faith and promise of God and, you know, that type of spirit. And so it was as if it was with Abraham. I had an experience like that. That's maybe why I picked Abraham. It really affected me. And I am assuming that then there are those that have experience like the spirit of Elijah, which would be the Holy Spirit in that type of a ministry of turning Israel back to God, you know, in the aspects of the power of God and his fellowship with God and so forth. And that spirit of Elijah and that spirit of Abraham could all be part of the spirit of Elijah in the sense of a restoration. But to identify that and say, aha, that's Elijah. No, no. What happened is you had an experience with the Spirit of God in relation to the truth of, you know, what Elijah did or Abraham did or Moses did or David did or whatever. You know, it was an experience in the Spirit. Like the heart of David, that was like God's heart. Because David was called a man after God's own heart, or in the Hebrew, it's a man like God's heart. So he was a man like God's heart. And so, boy, I had an experience with David. And so what it was is the Spirit of the Lord involving all that David was and what he did. And then there's a fellowship with that. Just like we do with one another, in a sense. When we fellowship with one another's spirits, without the intermediary of the Holy Spirit, we would not. But what we are fellowshipping with is the Holy Spirit bringing to us the characteristics and the peculiarities, uniquenesses, the strengths and whatever of that person. And so sometimes, you know, somebody will come up and they're full of faith or whatever they are. You just feel that, you know. And it's God bring, because there has to be a mediator. It's God's Spirit that you are actually touching. Because there's whatever this is over here, David, Elijah, Moses, and here's you. And in between has to be the Holy Spirit. And so what you're actually touching, you're interfacing with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is bringing to you the things that are in this other person. See? And so you feel like it's a particular person. Well, yeah. See, and that's exactly what this answer is. So, now if you understand what I'm saying, yes, you are having fellowship with the Spirit of Elijah in that sense. But bringing restoration in the ministry and so forth, that's what it really means by Elijah. It involves the ministry. And I think, I'm not sure if I've made myself fully clear, but those are just experiences with the Spirit of God that involve somebody else's ministry or whatever. But when we talk about Elijah, it would be wrong to say, oh yeah, Elijah and the Spirit of Elijah. Well, that's exactly what I experienced the other day. Well, maybe not. Not necessarily, not in that sense. But yes, you did experience the Spirit of Elijah as far as an experience of, you know, through the Holy Spirit of that person's ministry and life. I don't know if that was clear, but whatever. We'll all experience the Lord. When we talk about Elijah coming, see, that's what I mean. There's a distinction between Elijah coming. That Elijah coming, it was not your experience the other night. But the experience that you had is a part of it. See, it is. It is. If it is your fellowship in and the power of the Spirit of Elijah in your life, which includes any experience you could have had, if it would have involved now bringing restoration. Okay. So, let's finish real quickly. Letter B. Which person or persons would that Elijah be found in the New Testament, including the Gospels? Really, all I'm going to request is that you have Jesus and John, 4 points each. You can also put down the church, the early church, because they did continue to carry on that ministry. All you have to have is Jesus and John. Letter C, what type of ministry did Elijah accomplish? Almost anything goes on that. Restoration, turning the hearts of the fathers back to the children. The main idea is restoration of hearts to God, back to God. That's the idea, preparing a way. Letter D, is it possible that Elijah will yet come? Yes. Why? There's several reasons here. That, number one, there's more restoration needed. Number two, Jesus so much has said he would. And because of the restoration yet to come. You know, I guess it kind of ties in. Letter E, if so, in whom will Elijah come? And you could have there the man-child, the two witnesses, and not to confuse you, but even Jesus in the millennium is Elijah. Jesus in the millennium is Elijah. Why? Because he is coming. Elijah comes. He comes. Even at the second coming, he comes to restore all things. And it's during the millennium that the great restoration takes place. So Elijah is coming, but he also shall come too. Even though it doesn't specifically state that, but that will come because of the restoration that will be happening in the millennium. So in that sense, even Christ in the millennium is the Elijah. Now, let me just give you the basic fulfillment, the basic first step fulfillment. And that is, John was Elijah. But he was only in the spirit and power of Elijah that he was Elijah. And it was a temporary ministry. The Elijah of Malachi is principally Christ. It's principally Jesus Christ. He is the great Elijah. And remember, John did say he was not Elijah. Remember, he did say that. That he was pointing to Christ. And although he might have been not, he might have been disagreeing with their concept of what they thought Elijah was. And Jesus is the Elijah even now in his church. And he is restoring until there be a completed man. And he restores before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And that's at the second coming. And so Jesus is now restoring through his church and then ultimately in that man-child ministry before the second coming. And so that's the first and simplest interpretation and understanding of that. But you can stretch it out even further and say that Christ in the second coming is also part of that Elijah, and that the millennium is the restoration. And then at the end of the millennium, boom, we have the great white throne judgment, the great terrible day of the Lord. And you see that often in Scripture. That the at the end of the millennium and at the second coming, there's a lot of parallel. There's a lot of parallel between the second coming of Christ and the great terrible day of the Lord. That day at the great white throne judgment. Okay. Got it? Hope so. Add up the minus wrong, subtract from 100 and turn them in.
She's got this part right that he will come in the next one, and I think this is her example. The purpose before stated will be administrative.